Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Aliyah Gungley joins us. 11 years in the NFL, played for the Dolphins, but you might remember him for the Bears, where as team captain, he helped lead Chicago to the Super Bowl 41 against Indianapolis. Nowadays, he's with UBS, helping them with their strategic athletes and entertainment client segment. How are you, Wally?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Glad you could join us. Before we get things started, let's talk a little bit about UBS and your partnership with them in the Strategic Athletes Entertainment Client segment. What is that about?
What it is it's just my opportunity to, you know, make a difference in the financial world when it comes to dealing with athletes and entertainers. From my own experience, coming up and playing an 11-year NFL career, I just had some of the unfortunate luck of bumping into the wrong advisors that I thought really understood what I was coming from, why I had to save money for my family and my communities. And I always wound up with the wrong guys. And getting with this partnership with UBS, I realized that, one, I feel like all of our high-profile athletes and celebrities should be at these bigger, more reputable firms where actually someone's watching. And if there's a problem, I can, you know, bring it up with someone. And this is just my opportunity to open the eyes of the industry, get us into a place where we can communicate with our athletes and entertainers in a way that most people don't communicate. People don't understand the jargon of finance sometimes, the acronyms and the crazy words. And I'm trying to make sure that we bring the level of understanding to wherever our clients are.
And there are a lot of athletes who don't come from a background of money, and then all of a sudden they're being given a ton of money, and it is not uncommon to see them lose a lot of it.
Yeah, and that's, again, at the end of the day, it's really just trying to make sure that we understand the language of finance, and that's what happens. It's like speaking, you know, German if you've never spoken before. It's just such a hard thing to do, is to jump into if that's just not your background. But we've left it to the athletes to fend for themselves. And I think the industry has to do a better job of really holding the hands of their clients, teaching them exactly what they need to know. And if they don't understand, they shouldn't invest. Just because I was a former athlete doesn't mean I should open up a gym. I don't know a thing about business, baby, you know. So I think that's what we're trying to do, is just put a little bit of our expertise in the hands of our FAs and hopefully projecting that out into, when I say FAs, our financial advisors, and projecting that out into our clients and their lives and their families.
All right, so Wally, we're talking to you during Super Bowl week. You went to Super Bowl 41 against Indianapolis down in Miami, and it's probably, as much as we try to remember every Super Bowl, this one had an impact because of the rain. When you played in that Super Bowl, it was one of the first ones that we could see the impact of weather. What was it like to play on the biggest stage where weather was a factor?
Yeah, you know, for a defensive player, in my mind, I think, you know, weather shouldn't, you know, come into play, whether it's hot, cold, rainy. But for offense, you did see, you know, especially with a guy like Peyton Manning, and we had, you know, quarterback Wes Grossman, who had a big arm and we wanted to go down the field. You know, it wound up being, you know, a running attack, and then turnovers, right? A lot of our, the game, we turned the ball over. And I think a lot of that had to do with the weather and the fact that it was, felt like a monsoon out there for most of the game.
From a defensive perspective, and again, 11 years in the league, Pro Bowl player, you're looking at this Super Bowl, Brady, who you've seen before, you saw him in college too, but also Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. When you see Patrick Mahomes, put your defensive eyes on him for a second. What do you see? How would you counter him?
Oh, man. You know, Patrick Mahomes might be the first quarterback that I just wouldn't understand how to attack. He's really good with the blitz. He's good with pressure. He's good on the run. He's good in the pocket. He improvises. I just don't see where his weaknesses are. I think probably Father Time would be, and if he can stay healthy, that would probably be his biggest opponent. But right now, if you're looking at it just from a fan's perspective, I just don't see any weakness in his game. He can deliver the ball from any angle, down the field, short, long. I mean, it's just amazing to watch.
If you got in a time machine and went back to the time at Indiana and you a game against Michigan and said, by the way, that quarterback's going to be the greatest of all time, would you have been able to sell that to a younger Wally?
You wouldn't have been able to sell that to Tom Brady.
That's true. Good point.
you wouldn't have been able to sell that to Tom Brady. The funny thing about it is, even in your wildest dreams, right, let's say you're going to be a Hall of Famer, great. You're going to be an All-Pro, great. You're going to win a Super Bowl or two, great. But to be six-time Super Bowl winner, now arguably the GOAT, it's probably not even arguably anymore, the GOAT at that position, I just don't see how anyone could have predicted that one.
You have a great arc of your story because you were such a star at Indiana, but then you are injured, and then you go undrafted, and then you go to the Dolphins, and then you fight for a starting job. You get the starting job, and you turn it into a stellar Pro Bowl career. On that journey, what is it like to go through the incredible highs and the incredible lows of being not knowing where your career would be headed because of an injury?
Yeah, man, that's a great question, and it does make for a unique story. I think in my mind, I was able to see every aspect of an NFL player, right? Undrafted free agent, starting low man on a totem pole to becoming captain of a team, going to a Super Bowl, playing in a Pro Bowl, getting the big contract. So I saw it all, right? And I think I can appreciate where everyone's level of enter, whenever they enter into the NFL, whether you're a first round draft pick, I get the pressure that the first pick of the draft has. Like, it's gotta be the world on his shoulders. And then as an undrafted free agent, the guy who no one really thinks is gonna make the team, and it's politics involved and it's a business, and there's probably a chance that you're not gonna make the team, right? And then when you do, then you still got to keep proving yourself every single year. Like, no, you guys made a mistake. You made a mistake. All 32 teams made a mistake. And they're like, well, did we? Well, try it again. Do it again next year. Well, do it again next year. And I had to do it again for, you know, almost four seasons before they finally said, you know what? All right, we're going to pay you. So I saw the whole gamut of it. The NFL is a business. I get it. But I wouldn't trade that experience of having to work my way through the ranks of the NFL to where I ended up.
It's so easy to look at Super Bowls, especially with quarterbacks these days, and say, well, Super Bowl 41, that was Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl. But you guys were a very, very good defense. How good of a defense were you guys going into that game in Miami?
Really, probably one of the best defenses I've ever seen. We had talent from in the secondary, talent at the linebacker position, obviously with Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher, and then, you know, Tommy Harris, me, Alex Brown, Mark Anderson, Israel Adonijay. We were pretty stacked up. I would go to war with that defense any day. Every time we had, you know, Charles Tillman and Nathan Vasher, we were a turnover machine. We got after the ball. We got the quarterback. We stopped running backs. I mean, you couldn't, in my opinion, when Devin Hester gave us that 7-point lead,
yeah,
in the first play of the game, there's no way I thought we were going to lose that game. It's just impossible. Not with that defense.
Wally Ogunleye joining us here on our Progressive Guest Line. Real quick before we let you go, just a quick prediction on who do you got for Sunday?
The old man that I am, knowing that I played with Tom Brady in college, and he's still, and he's giving interviews tomorrow, yesterday talking about he can go past 45. That part of me wants to root for the old man, right? But the truth of the matter is, I think the NFL needs this game. This is probably, in my opinion, going to be the changing of the guard in essence. And I think Patrick Mahomes takes the game, and KC wins there back to back.
Thank you so much for joining us. And again, with UBS and helping athletes and dealing with their finances, you know, you and I have probably only one thing in common, and that when we were younger, our teachers stopped at our last names and went, I don't even know where to go with this. So I'm just going to take a while.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I just raised my hand. It's me.
Exactly.
Don't even try.
I did the same thing. Wally, good luck to you. Thank you so much for everything. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Anytime you need me.
You got Wally Ogunigbe, former Chicago Bear and Miami Dolphin participant in Super Bowl 41, NFC champion Chicago Bears. They did lose that Super Bowl to Peyton Manning, but like he said, that was one of the best defenses to go into a Super Bowl. Progressive, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. I always find that Super Bowl fascinating. I do, because remember how good Devin Hester was? Remember how good, like,
yes,
almost every time he had the ball, he would score? Almost, like, all throughout the whole season. It felt like I remember the Broncos kicked to him twice in a game, and regretted it both times. It was insane. And then you get to the Super Bowl, and he returns the kickoff, and it wasn't, you should be surprised when anybody returns a kickoff for a touchdown, right? And it's a rare thing.
But we weren't.
But it wasn't surprising at all.
Well, they had spent the entire pregame show saying, you know, the Colts, they shouldn't kick to Devin Hester. Devin Hester's going to return one back. And they said that the entire time.
Exactly.
First play of the game, boom, there it is.
It's probably one of the most unsurprising, like the Ravens and the Giants had back-to-back kickoffs, which both times you should be like, I'm living in an alternate universe. This should never happen ever. Devin Hester was like, yep, that's exactly what he was going to do, and everybody knew that's exactly what he was going to do.
It's just what I do.
It's what he does. He takes kicks and goes to the end zone. That's what he does. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.